Amen. How many are glad it's 2011? Well, we don't know yet, right? We haven't lived through 2011 yet. But we know that God is good, and we know He'll do awesome things. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm excited to be here, and like I said before, we're just... You know, we come down visiting, but we know the whole time of the season. And how many know the real reason of the season? No amens, amen. Before we start into the message, I want to share this with you. You know, I was starting to look at some of the things that we're in the Word of God, and I started to see how the Word of God is so important, and how we have to receive it by faith. Now, a lot of times when I go places, I preach a lot of faith, I talk a lot of faith, and I teach a lot of faith, so people get to understand that when we understand what faith is, it is the currency of heaven. I mean, it says that we receive the keys to the kingdom of heaven. How many know what the keys to the kingdom of heaven is? Whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you bound, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Jesus was telling Peter, I give you the keys of heaven. And when we understand that, when we start to bind things, we cannot do anything of any sort until it is mixed with faith. And I start to look at the season and I start to see how the entire season, the Christmas season, was a season of love. We all know John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What did he say? God so loved the world that he gave his son. The world at the time was in need of a savior, somebody to take them from the law into the grace of God. And when we start to understand that, have you ever asked yourself, because I'm going to get into the Word, and we want to really know how the Word works. Well, how was Jesus conceived? I mean, when we have the baby corner there, and we know as adults how babies are conceived, we don't have to go into great detail. But how was Jesus conceived? He was conceived by the Word of God and faith. You can look it up. I'm not going to get into this today, but when God gave Gabriel the message, he gave Gabriel the Word. Gabriel therein took the Word of God. He took what God had spoken to him, and he came and showed up to Mary and said, Mary, this is what the Word of God is for you, that you will bear a son. His name will be named Jesus. But how many know if Mary said, no, that cannot be me, I'm too young, this will not work out, how many know if God would have had to find another source? No, but what did Mary say? Well, if God said it, so be it. So when she received it by faith, how many know we have to learn how to receive in order to give? Amen? How many know we have to receive in order to give? We have to learn how to receive in order to give. We are great givers. I mean, you bring a problem to the church, all of you will give to your best. You will give whatever you have. But sometimes we just don't have it to give. But how many know the Word of God says you have not been giving unless it has been given to you by God? So there is a giving that you receive of God that now you can give. God is using you as a source. Amen? Amen. I'm just jumping all over because I got so many things I want to say. But so Mary received the Word of God. She says, okay, if God said it, so be it. So right then and there, the Word of God conceived through the Holy Spirit. And now, what do we know that John 1:14 says? That the Word would dwelt among us, that the Word put on flesh and dwelt among us. that through the word of God, that God spoke the word to Gabriel, Gabriel gave it to Mary, Mary received it, and then conceived Jesus Christ by the word. In the beginning was the word was with God, and God was the word. We know that the Trinity, that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. Amen? Isn't that awesome? That God knew that we needed a Savior, and he gave of himself his Son by his word. This is why this entire word is so important, especially in these end times. I'm going to talk to you about the end times. I'm going to give you a few scriptures. But what I want to share with you is this, the importance of the word in the end times. Because as much as we as a church understand the end times, we're not scared. Well, you shouldn't be scared anyway. Amen? These are exciting times. When we know Jesus is coming, when we know that things are wrapping up, when we know that I heard one prophet say, he says, I know, I may mess up the number, but he says, I know 186,000 reasons why the rapture hasn't happened yet. He says, because all of the prophets are just scratching their head saying, you know, it should have happened already. Everything's, you know, being fulfilled. Everything's just happening. They said they're wondering why it hasn't happened already. And this one prophet gets up and says, I know 186,000 reasons why it hasn't happened yet. He says, because 186,000 people a day are being saved. That's only the grace of God. That's only the love of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Are we excited? Amen, Pastor Murray. I'm excited. I'm in the house of the Lord. Man, I got a shout. This is 2011, the beginning, the start of a new year. I mean, I can start to confess what's going to happen this year. I can start to speak things of faith this year and expect, have a great expectation. I mean, that's all about faith. Is that, hey, I'm not going to have a beat up, beat down year, barely make it by, survive every day. Barely, I mean, just crawl home and just, I made it through today. No, I'm going to live in the blessings of God. Amen? Amen. I'm gonna live with a skip in my step and a glide in my stride. I'm going to live with a smile on my face because I know the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen? And I know that when I get to that place, it'll be joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. So are you excited? Yes. Amen. I mean, we could be out there today. I mean, out there doing whatever. We saw some kids playing hockey and I mean, but you're getting ready in here to do a greater good. You're getting in here and you're getting the impartation from Pastor Lush, from the Word of God. And you're taking what you receive in here out there and making a difference. Amen? Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read this really quick. Turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Amen. As you're turning to Ephesians chapter 6, I'm just going to read this very quick. How many ever seen the movies that, you know, they show you something in the beginning, but it really doesn't have anything to do until the end? Well, this is what this scripture is. We're going to lead up to this scripture, but I want to share this quite quick with you. Ephesians 6, verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and be and in the power of his might. How many know it's his might? Right? We try to do a lot of things in our own might, but a lot of times we just got to step back and say, okay, God, it's in you. All the promises of God, here's how I used to preach this word, that scripture says, and all the promises are yes and amen. Right? And we said, yes, they are yes and amen. But we missed two key words. All the promises of God in him are yes. And in him are amen. We got to understand where the source lies, right? We can go into this world and we can focus on all the bad stuff. And I got this quote here I want to share with you. But we can focus on all the bad stuff. How many know Peter would have not have made it, at least up to Jesus, if he focused as on the storm as soon as he got out the boat? Right? No, his focus was on Jesus. And this is where we need to focus on. So he says, He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand. Everybody say stand. Against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against and of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand. Everybody say stand. In the evil day, having done all to stand. Everybody say stand. Stand, therefore. Everybody say stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I went into this big sword knife place, and I bought this humongous sword. And it has a cross right in the, above the handle. And that's my illustration for the sword of the Spirit. And it's heavy. And I carried around it, and it's nice and shiny. But it looks terrible. I mean, if somebody came running at you with this huge, humongous, long sword, I mean, you'd be frightened. Now think what the enemy thinks of you when you have the word in your spirit. The sword of the Spirit. Well, we're going to get to that in a moment. I want to share with you this thing. And we're going to talk about the end times. Listen to this. Quakes, earthquakes, heat waves, floods, volcanoes, super typhoons, blizzards, landslides, and droughts killed at least 250,000 in 2010. The deadliest year in more than a generation, as the Associated Press in Washington reports. According to the global, to a Swiss company, these disasters cost $222 billion in economic losses in 2010, more than Hong Kong's economy. While the Haitian earthquake, Russian heat wave, and Pakistani floods were in the biggest killers, flooding alone this year killed more than 6,300 people in 59 nations throughout September, according to the World Health Organization. In the United States, 30 people died in Nashville, Tennessee region in flooding. Inundated countries included China, Italy, India, Colombia, and Chad. A super typhoon, Maggie, with winds of more than 200 miles per hour, devastated the Philippines and parts of China. What else happened this year? Well, we're right next door and affected us somewhat and affected the entire global economy was the whole recession thing happened. I mean, everything just seemed like it happened all last year. But how many made it through 2010? Amen. If you didn't say amen, you must still be living in 2010. But we are now in a new year. And something we need to understand when we get in hearing a lot of these things is that this ain't a time of fear, but we believe that God is wrapping things up. And we need to be ready. On Friday night, Pastor Steve spoke a message that, you know, we're to be watching, looking, attentive. And I'm going to share a scripture with you, but first turn with me to Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'm going to read this, but I want to share a few things as we read it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'm going to start sharing in verse 13. Now, where I come from, a lot of the churches are just not running. We're probably except for the Anglican church, we're probably the only other church there. There's another small church. But when it comes time to funerals, a lot of times I have to do the funerals, and this is the scripture I speak at the funeral. Today we're not doing a funeral, because how many know Jesus is alive? Amen. Amen. You're alive, I'm alive, and we're not the frozen chosen, right? Amen. We're not the frozen chosen. We're alive. Amen. 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 But I would not have you ignorant, he said, brethren, concerning them that are asleep, those that have gone on before us, that ye sorrow not even as those that have no hope. Now, I share that a lot of times because there are a lot of unbelievers at funerals, that those that have no hope. I'll share this, that there are two words we mess up. When people say, I'm sorry, you lost somebody. I didn't lose anybody. There's a difference between the word L-O-S-T and the word L-O-S-S. Lost is something you'll never find again. It's gone. I don't know where it's gone. L-O-S-S is separated for a time. When our loved ones go on, I may be at loss because I know I will once again see them again. Amen? Amen. And that gives us hope through Christ Jesus, that they are born again, that they are alive and well in the midst of great love, great glory, in the midst of heaven itself. I want to tell you, I mean, this was a surprise funeral. And I mean that really, surprise funeral. A person passed away. In this time period, we had four people pass away in the matter of 2 weeks. We had four funerals within 3 weeks. And I did two, one right after another. And then another minister was going to do another funeral. But then he fell ill and went into the hospital. So they asked me the day before. And how many know you got to be ready? Well, I guess I had some practice. I'm throwing some light on it now. But, you know, we just went through a couple of funerals already. But I was just going and I was just speaking as God gave it to me. And I didn't know the gentleman, but I'm sitting there and we're going through the funeral, and the family member comes up and she's reading notes from the family. And one of his notes says he yelled out to his daughter, said, "Come here, look it. There's that pastor from down the road. He's on TV," and we were on Spirit Alive that time. And he says he listened to us on the radio all the time. So that was my connection with him. I never really got to meet him. I met him a few times when we prayed for his wife. But rather than that, I never met him. But as I'm going through the service, I was just in the midst of just flowing in the Spirit, just flowing, and words are just coming out from down in my spirit. And I'm flowing, and you know, I'm saying heaven is an awesome place, because I'm trying to build people up. Because this guy, I know through other people, he gave his life to the Lord. I said, heaven is a beautiful place. I said, the streets are paved with gold. I said, I mean, I'm just going at it, flowing. And I said, heaven is such an awesome place. People are dying to get in. And I heard a few chuckles. And I thought, man, we got to get back past this really fast. So I started to go on about something else. You got to understand about Native people. There's a Native humor where people will laugh, and we've done that many times. But I forgot about the whole thing, and I'm driving home, and I see in the corner of my head, I see Tracy go in. I go, what? And by that time, I mean, I'm flowing in the spirit. The things are just coming out, and sometimes you want to make people smile. And she goes, "I cannot believe you said that." I said, "What?" "I cannot believe you said people are just dying to get into heaven." And then it clicked in. I was like, oh, I kind of felt bad, but people recognize that. I called a gentleman's son who passed away. His nickname was Raz, and his son is Wes. And I says, "We'll have Raz come up and share about his dad." And people just start laughing. Because, I mean, at that time, there's just certain things you just don't know what to do. I was like, oh, I'm sorry, you know. I called him by his dad. But anyway, funny things happen at funerals. Anyway, let's go on. that we sorrow not. There's where the key I was getting to. That we, them that are asleep, that we sorrow not, even that those that do not have hope. For if we believe. How many know in the English language there are three there's? There could be more, but I know there's three for sure. There's T-H-E-I-R, T-H-E-R-E, and T-H-E-Y, apostrophe R-E, right? Something like that. Well, when you start to look at the word believe, let me share this. How many have heard throughout this Christmas season a lot of celebrities singing about Jesus? The Christmas songs, right? I mean, somewhere along the line, for them to sing about Jesus, they must have to believe there is a Jesus. But do they actually live the life, believe fully, or is it just a belief? Right? I can stand here and say, I'm believing, brother. I'm believing, sister. Hey, I'm believing. Will you believe with me? See, there's just a belief. But then there's another believing where it is your faith in action. Sister, I'm believing for your family member. I'm believing for your the person you're believing for. I'm believing for somebody else. It's your faith put in action towards somebody else. I need to read my notes for a sec. Because many believe that Jesus, the scripture in James 3:19 says, just talking about those that believe. It says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. Even devils also believe and tremble. How many know devils believe? But they're not walking in the blessings of God. There's other people that believe in a Jesus, but they're not walking in the blessings of God either. But there are those who receive Jesus into their heart and now walk by faith. Walk by the word of God, believing everything that Jesus said he would do, he would do it. And when they walk it out by faith, I mean, something else happens on the inside of them, and now they can put that faith in action towards somebody else. Isn't that what it's all about? I mean, sure, we cannot help somebody drowning if we're drowning ourselves. We got to build ourselves up with the word of God in prayer. But then it always turns out that we are always to help somebody else. Isn't that why the church doors are open? Come on in. Invite a friend. Bring somebody in. Why? We want to help somebody else. When the church outreaches for missions and feeding the poor and things of that, what are you doing? You're helping somebody else. See, the word of God came for you to build you up. Jesus came for you so you could be saved. But the Holy Spirit came so he could work through you to help somebody else. Isn't that awesome? That's the Great Commission. The Great Commission. So let's go on. I got to get through this. This ain't even my key scripture. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a what? With a what?
Shout.
Oh, I heard what? With a what?
Shout.
How many know most of the church has lost its shout? Right? Go play hockey. I mean, you're watching the Maple... I don't want to say Maple Leafs because we don't know what team you're rooting for. Whatever team you're rooting for... Well, we'll say this. How many remember last year when Sidney Crosby won the gold medal? I remember we were sitting around. We were here in Napanee, and we saw that, it's a reaction. But how many know you're in the house of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? There should be a reaction. I've just said that word, but a shout, a joy within. Amen? He's coming back with a shout. Here's what we do, and I kind of fell away with it, but my mom caught on to it. We sit there, and it could be in the middle of the message, and we go, rapture drill, and everybody goes, woo! Everybody, all at once. And we could be singing, and my mom's leading worship this time, and then we're coming to a song, and she goes, rapture drill, and everybody goes, hey! Because if he's coming back with a shout, I want to go with a shout. Amen? I don't want to lose my shout. Because when I'm victorious, hey, I got to shout. Amen? I mean, you just don't have to, on the inside, but on the, or on the outside, but on the inside, you can just tell when people are living victorious. Amen. Let's go on. Because we're going to get back to that shout in a moment. With the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I know a good joke about that, but I'm not going to say it. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, frighten one another with these words. Amen. Does it say that? Oh. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. I think it says that. You know, whenever we get into these scriptures, people get frightened. They start sweating. It's getting hot in here. You know, the end times, I don't know. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Remember that shout. Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified version. It says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps. And when they met the bridegroom, 5 of them were foolish." It says, "thoughtless, without forethought." And I thought, what does that mean? Thoughtless, without forethought. It says, they had no anticipation. They had no expectation. So the 5 of them, I mean, these are 5 women that are getting ready to be married. They're waiting for the bridegroom. And 5 were wise, sensible, intelligent, and prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they did not take any extra oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil along with them also with their lamps. So let's read this first, and then we'll get into it. While the bridegroom lingered and was slow in coming, they all began to nod their heads, and they all fell asleep. But at midnight there was a shout. Here's that word shout again. But behold, the bridegroom, go out and meet him. Then all the virgins had got up and put their own lamps in order. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise replied, there will not be enough for us and you. Go instead to the dealers and buy for yourselves. But they were going away to buy from the bride, and the bridegroom came. And these who were prepared went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. There's a key there. Later, the other virgins came and said, Lord, Lord, open the door unto us. But he replied, I solemnly declare unto you, I do not know you. I am not, in other words, he says, I am not acquainted with you. Watch, therefore, give strict attention, and be cautious and active, for you know not whether the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. How many know we don't know the day or the hour? But we know the signs. God will not have you in the dark. Amen? He will not have you in the dark. So he said, there were 5 foolish. Well, let's understand first what this is. What is the lamp? The lamp represents the Word of God. It says, the Word is the lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path. Psalms 119, 105. And the oil represents the Holy Spirit. We all know when they anointed in the Old Testament, Isaiah 61:3 says, "And they appointed unto them that mourn in Zion to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning." 1 Peter 1:8 says, "It was joy unspeakable and full of glory." When you get an understanding of the Holy Spirit, there's joy connected with it. And this is what the oil represented. So he says, then it says there were 5 of them that were wise and 5 were foolish. How many know that's 10? So let's look at this in today's aspect. That's 50%. 50% of the church today is wise. 50% of the church today is foolish. I don't mean just in this building, we're not even, I mean across the world, across the entire world, 50% are not anticipating the coming of Christ. They could be just sitting back and just, whatever. I mean, whatever their focus is. But there are those that understand, that have the Word of God. I mean, it didn't say that the 50% didn't have the Word of God. They all had the Word of God. How many know this entire world, the church in this entire world, has the Word of God? But if it is not mixed with power, there's a difference. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen? So now 50% are wise. They have both the Word and the oil. How many know what the lamp and the oil produce? It gave them light. It's the light into our path, right? It gave them fire to show to go forth. In the midst of darkness, they could see where they were going. So the wise had enough for themselves. But here's this. Listen to this. It says they all. Let's find the scripture. And at midnight, right before verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered. They all slumbered and slept. Pastor Murray, I heard about the Jesus coming when I was a little kid. That'll happen someday. Maybe it'll happen. I'm slumbering and I'm sleeping. I'm not anticipating it. I'm not expecting it. I mean, when you anticipate it, you should. I mean, I remember hearing one preacher say, if you really believe that Jesus was coming any minute, there would be some places you wouldn't go. There would be some things you wouldn't say. Right? Because we're anticipating. I want to be ready. So he says they all fell asleep. They all said, he's taking too long. Oh, I wish Jesus would just hurry up with my healing. I just wish it would just, I mean, I'm praying for my son, but he's not coming in. I'm just going to give up. Sometimes we just slumber and sleep. We just forget about it. Forget about it, right? How many know we got to be alive? Awake. Anticipate. When you're driving in a snowstorm, you anticipate everything. I'm just not sitting back cruising. Yeah, whatever. You know, and then you go drive into the ditch. No, I'm anticipating. I don't want to go into the ditch. I don't want to get into any type of accident. I'm anticipating, because I'm anticipating getting through the storm. I'm anticipating getting from here, point A to point B. Amen? Well, we're walking through this world, this journey, and we need to be anticipating all the time. But a focus on Jesus, right? Just like Peter stepping out of the boat, he was focused on Jesus. And when he started walking on that water, he's walking on that water, and everybody's going, you can't do it, Peter. All the guys in the boat, right? What are you doing? You're not Jesus. But he's focused on Jesus. He's walking on the water. His legs are kind of wobbly. He's like, I don't know how I'm doing this, but hey, I'm focused on him. But what happened when he got close to Jesus? I mean, he just took his eyes off Jesus. Why? Because he was comfortable. We are getting too comfortable when we get to the place where we start to slumber and sleep. It's just, I know Jesus will do it. Some of this extreme grace say, I can do anything and God will forgive me. I can do anything I want. I can go anywhere I want. I can say anything I want. I can do anything. God will forgive me. It's all under the grace. But how many know there comes a time when you will be judged for your actions? Right? We gotta be a people of holiness, purity. We gotta show people. We got to be a reflection of Christ. Amen? When Peter got close, he got comfortable. He says, hey, I made it. I'm here. So I can look. Whoa, look at the storm. Whoa, what? And then he starts to sink, right? How do we know he was in the right proximity of Jesus? It says Jesus reached and grabbed him. He didn't have to run across the water. He just reached down and grabbed him and said, Peter, where did your faith fail? Let's go on. They took their lamps and their vessels, verse 4, and the bridegroom tarried, and all were slept in slumber. At midnight there made a cry made. There was a shout. Remember it says he's coming back with a shout? We're talking about the same thing. And that time, he says, there was a shout. And it says, the bridegroom cometh, go and meet him. And all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. They wanted to be ready. And the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for the lamps have done gone out. But they said, not so, lest we not have enough for you, but rather go and sell and buy for yourselves. Now I was reading the Dakes translation. It says, this cannot be the Holy Ghost. Because you cannot buy the Holy Ghost. You cannot go sell the Holy Ghost. But there's something I heard in our past camp meeting with Ted Shuttlesworth, and he spoke on this in an offering time. He said the wise invested in the anointing. The wise partnered. The wise tithed. The wise gave seed. The wise invested. They had the anointing. Isn't that awesome? You know, I'm really proud to say our church is a tithing church, a giving church. And through that, we are able to go to places. I mean, there's a place at the end of January where I believe I'll be going is 2 hours northeast of Winnipeg. And I looked at the temperature of Winnipeg right now, and it's cold. It's cold. I said, why can't we do this in the summer? But, I mean, when you're invited and you know it's good with God, you're going to go. But with people giving and saying, let's take this to another level. Like with your giving and understanding that Pastor Steve goes across the globe to a place and shares the word. You have a key part of that by investing in the anointing, investing, giving, so that the word can go out. Amen? They had invested. They had the anointing. They had the oil. Sometimes we cannot go. I mean, sometimes we, as people, we cannot go, but we invest and we partner. And then something happens that when we are able to do that, when Pastor Steve goes, you go with him. When the ministry goes, when the ministry does something, you have a part of that. And when it comes to the great judgment, when you come before God, God sees all the things. He says, I saw that you went across the world. He say, I didn't travel, but you had a part of it. I saw that you went here and did this and did this and did this and did this. And you say, I didn't leave my house, but you invested. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Let's go on. But while they went to buy, it says, the bridegroom came and they were all ready and went in with him, and the marriage door was shut. How many remember Noah's Ark? There was a time, it says, it's just right across the page, just turn there. It's in Matthew 24. Matthew 24, as you're turning, verse 36, but in that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but the Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as much as the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving into marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. There were people just giving in, going on, but there came a time, I heard Jensen Franklin speak a message, a time of the shutting of the gate. What's happening in the world today? Churches are shouting, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. What was Noah doing? Building the ark, saying, get ready. The flood is coming. The flood is coming. And today we're going, Jesus is about to return. Now, I'm not getting into the part I wanted to today, but I'm going to share this. Here's two key things, is that lamp and that oil. I gotta focus on this. The lamp and the oil. are the key to the believers in this place today to outreach to those all around us. That when we have the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, I mean, it could just be a sword, but without the Spirit, it's of no use. I mean, we can all have, like the foolish, the Word. The Word, the Word, the Word. We could just read it like a book. But it turns into more of a book when you start to mix it in with the Holy Spirit, and then revelation starts to happen. Wow, I never saw that. I read that scripture 20 times before, but now God revealed something new to me. Amen? I want to share this with you, and then we're going to close. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. I want you to understand why the Word is important, why we need to get into the Word of God, and especially these end times. Now, as you're turning to Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to read this first. I'm putting like three messages all in one today. It says, "For by grace you were saved through faith that is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." "For by grace you were saved through faith." How many know it was the grace of God that you have access to the promises of God? I mean, the grace of God is your inheritance. Jesus paid the price for each and every one of us. Amen? Amen. He paid the price. But if I was born and I was born into a family and I could not access that inheritance, I mean, it's no good to me. But how many know the inheritance, the grace of God is free? How do we access it? That by grace you were saved. It says, "For by grace you are saved through faith." You had to believe in a God, and then a God came and sent his Son, died for you to save you so that you could access all the promises in him. Amen? Grace is your inheritance, but you have to learn how to access, receive freely. What you receive freely, you freely give. Right? Sometimes we want to give and then receive. Give and you shall be given. But let's step back. Freely you receive. It's funny how God said, freely you receive first, then you freely give. But let's go on. Ephesians chapter 4, or Hebrews chapter 4. The Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. Everybody say the Word.
The Word
is important. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." I used to pray, "Father God, we boldly come before your throne." And I felt God say, "Why did you ever leave?" Amen? Listen. Listen to this. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace." When did you come boldly to the throne of grace? When you became born again. You had access to the throne of grace. Through faith. When you said, "Jesus, come into my heart, I receive you," you had boldness. God gave you boldness through Christ Jesus to come to the throne. Now you're amidst the throne. Amen? We can see that? "That we may obtain mercy." How many know you have God is merciful. We don't have to keep going to God and saying, "Go, show me your mercy. Show me your mercy, Lord. Show me your mercy." We don't have to do that because he is a merciful God. We know mercy is ours through Christ Jesus. Amen? So when you were born again, you had to come to the throne and say, "Lord, show me your mercy." Let's go on. "And find grace in a time of need." You didn't have grace before you knew Christ Jesus. But through Jesus, you found grace. Amen? So what is this scripture talking about? This is a newborn believer scripture. This is what happens to a born-again believer when they receive Christ. My prayer doesn't say, I don't pray, "Father God, I boldly come to your throne." No, "Father God, I thank you that I am amidst your throne always. I will never leave because you said I'll never leave or forsake you. So I'm not coming boldly to your throne, Father God, and then I'm leaving again. Then I'm coming boldly just whenever I need you, and I'm gone again. oh, I need this, boldly come before your throne. I need this. No, I'm always there through Christ Jesus. I never left. Amen? This is why the word is important. I read that scripture over and over. But then now, by the unction of the Holy Ghost, I got revelation of what that means. When you're sitting here listening to the man of God speak the word of God, revelation may come into your spirit. Then you start to see scriptures how you never saw them before. I see scriptures now. I mean, I see almost every scripture linked up with faith or linked up with love. And love and faith cannot be separated because love worketh by, or faith worketh by love. In these last days, I'm not saying anything that the enemy will not, he's gonna rise up. This is why we said we need the full armor of God to stand, right? To stand, not to cower and not to run away, to stand. In the midst of everything, to stand. We know these are the last days. We know what is happening. We know the signs. We can read them in this word of God all the time. But we get to the place where we are anticipating the return of Christ Jesus. And I'm not anticipating, and I'm not going to sit there with a frown on my face and say, ah, come on, you're taking too long. I'm going to go, come on, Lord God. Come on, Jesus. But at that time, in between now and when he comes, I still have a job to do. And how I'm going to get it done is by the word and by faith and by the Holy Ghost. Amen? I cannot just sit back anymore. I got to get down and I got to start to pray more. I got to get into the word more. I can't just sit back and be nonchalant. I got to get up and do something. Amen? I got to put my faith in action. How many know we are living in the time of signs, wonders, and miracles? What is Jesus' calling card? He says, go tell John of what you see and what you hear. Go tell John about the miracles you see. Go tell John about the things you hear. Calling card of Jesus is signs, wonders, and miracles. And how many know he's living on the inside of you? Amen? He loves you so much. He loves you so much. Sometimes we don't know how much. But he has put you here on this earth on purpose. Even if your mommy and your daddy didn't said, oops, how did that happen? Holding a little baby and saying, I don't know how this happened. I mean, let's go back to conception 101, right? No, we know how it happened. But you may have not been planned, but God had you planned from the beginning. Amen? And you're here on purpose. There is somebody around you, even today, not in this place, but around your, I'll say, your sphere, people of who you know that need a word of power from you. There is somebody that is just crying out. They may not show it, but inside they're crying out for help. Today is the day we need to be led of the Spirit. Today is the day we need to have the Word banked in our spirit like never before. Why do I say banked in our spirit? You say, well, I'm not sick, but I don't know why I'm studying all these healing scriptures. Well, when you bank it in your spirit, how many know in a bank you bank your money, that when you need it, you take it out? Well, the Holy Spirit says, I will bring back to remembrance those things that you have said. When you bank that word in your spirit, you may not know, but here's how it always happens. My mom always tells me the same thing. She goes, you know, I just go to minister something, and it just starts coming out. It starts coming out. The scriptures start coming out. The perfect things start coming out. Because the Spirit knows what that person needs to know, needs to hear. And when you are led of the Spirit, God will make a way for the word to get to them through you. This is why in these end times, I know I focused on the end times a little bit, but we are living in these end times. These are glorious times. Amen? These are not the days of Elijah. These are the days of the Holy Ghost. Amen? You know, I never did look at that, but I don't think Acts says it was finished. Amen? How many know your name could still be added there? Well, when we get to the place of understanding who we are and why God has put us here, we can go through this entire book, and I just summed it up in this. We win. Amen? We win. That's all I have to go to the back. I mean, when the devil's beat me down, trying to get me to get my mind on something else, trying to get my focus on something else, I just have to turn to this and say, oh yeah, devil, we win. I'm sorry, devil, but we win. Amen? Amen? Every time, devil, we win. Devil, I'm sorry, but not this time because we win. Amen? So I'm not giving up, I'm not giving in, I'm not going to sleep, I'm not slumbering. I'm getting to the place where I'm getting excited. He's coming back any moment. Amen? And I want to, if I'm excited and it's excitement in me, I'm going to share it with somebody else. Did you know who Jesus is? You know, I got this thing right now and I'm going to close. You've been sitting here for quite a long time. But, you know, we got this thing on the reserve between the traditional and Christian, and I can tell you right here today, I'm highly respected, honestly, because I move in love and not judgment. So there's something else that happened, and then this other guy, you know, says, "Oh, there's only one God. We all serve the same God." I was like, "Praise Jesus!" You know, that's what I wanted to say. I didn't at the moment. I said, "Man, if we serve the same God, Jesus is His Son. Amen. You love Jesus too." Well, whoa, because they don't believe in Jesus. It's a God, the Creator, but Jesus is out of the picture. Well, if it's the same God, He only has one Son. His name is Jesus. That's what separates you in this place from every other religion on this world. Is that name above all names.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus. Jesus. That's awesome. That's awesome. That God so loved the world in this season. He loved you so much. We needed a Savior. But how many know much more than a Savior, we also needed a Lord to Lord over us? We needed a Savior and a Lord. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is our Jesus. Amen? Amen. Amen. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word today, Lord. As we understand fully, fully that you are coming back and that you are, Father God, we are in this place anticipating your return. But Father, as you're coming back, Lord, we just receive today your impartation of your word, and Father God, that we are ready. We get into the word, we get into prayer, we get into stepping out in faith in a huge way. Father, we thank you that you are our everything. That this year will be greater than last year. That we don't focus on last year, but Father God, we call 2011 greater. And we thank you, Father God, that we confess it, we speak it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to read this just before I sit down. It's called Inspiration for 2011. The year is 2011, my will on earth as it is in heaven. Moving in the light and grace through faith, freely justified to finish our race. Moving up, moving in at a faster pace. Then we run and we run to complete which we have begun. That momentum will not be stopped by anything or anyone, and it will not be stopped until I come. Grace and peace will be multiplied as the knowledge of Him we fully abide. It is not about self, but it is about us. To establish his kingdom, he has placed his trust. The year to take authority in his name and by his blood, proclaiming signs and wonders and miracles, receiving them like a flood. Understanding his willingness to use his power, we are in that moment and in that hour. Having no identity that is of our own, we are seated with him upon the throne. We are not of this world, so victories we sing. So his victories we sing. Our sovereignty is from heaven. He is our King. So again, I say, 2011, my will on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. This is your year. Amen. This is your year. As much as he's coming back, we are anticipating that. We are getting ready. But still, there is a job to do. And that's why the Word and the Holy Ghost are so key to us today, to show a tangible God, a God of power, a God of truth, a God of morals, but a God of love to this world. Even in your daily walk, you can do it not even knowing it, but just reflecting Christ in your life. Just by getting the Word on the inside. In that song we always sing at home, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. When he's on the inside, something happens. You may get a skip in your step and a glide in your stride and a smile on your face in the midst of all storms, all circumstances, because you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that what? We win. Amen, amen. God bless you.